We can talk more later also about what Jason's been telling the whole family about for days, which is a paladin bro class.
Oh, yeah.
In D&D.
You have to swear a bro.
And it has a wing...
That's so dumb.
It has a wingman ability.
It's a special ability that's a wingman ability.
Does he have wings?
You have to make a... No, but your bro can fly.
That's cool. Is it a magic fly, or are you, like, making him grow wings?
I think it's magic fly.
Nice.
It's granted from the bro god.
Prometheus?
Prometheus, I like that.
Could be.
Okay. He granted mankind the fire of brotherhood.
So
brotherhood. Welcome to The Critical Path with Mary and Jason and Dakota, a podcast about business development, company culture, and loving the place you work just a little bit more. This is episode 15, and we're going to be talking about... Do you know what we're talking about, Jason? Come on, I'm omniscient.
I didn't get the memo.
You literally have the OneNote notebook in front of you.
No, I don't.
Literally in front of you.
Dealing with authority issues in the workplace.
Dealing with authority issues.
You have authority issues.
I don't. I actually asked you.
Hold on. I'll use it in a sentence. Mary, you have authority issues.
If by authority issues you mean I have an employee who won't ever do what I tell him to, and his name is Jason.
Dakota.
Nope, Dakota does what I tell him to. You're the one.
At least 50% of the time I do what I'm supposed to.
At least. Easily.
Last week we talked about the difference between trust and faith.
We did. But the week before that we talked about respect, authority, and deference, and how there are three separate concepts there that kind of all get conflated together into this term that we use that is respect. And after we cut that episode, which actually just went live yesterday, we were looking around at our to-do list and realized that we're dealing with authority issues right now in a lot of their most common ways that they show up. So what we wanted to do is talk about what the most common ways are to take it.
We want to talk about the most common manifestations of authority issues.
We do. So
to put it cleanly.
Are you mansplaining right now?
Look, let me tell you what mansplaining is.
Yeah, there is actually a point in Silicon Valley where a guy comes in and mansplaining to two women who own their own business. And
that's
it
right.
Well, no. You don't understand what that episode's about.
this is too meta for me right now.
Mansplaining inception.
Mansleption?
Manception?
Mansleption, is that the...
That all sounds like different things.
It's all different things. Okay.
We're going to be talking about a software company. So just the same as we have invented Get Her Done Plumbing.
Everybody remembers Get Her Done.
Get Her Done Plumbing. And we actually invented that in episode one of the podcast.
Oof.
And we invented...
It wasn't episode one.
It was, because it was when we were talking about Compass, Code, and Strategy.
Got it.
It was the first episode. And
Raffle was first episode.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, so not... We didn't give any prizes to Get Her Done.
Write it down. That's like the fourth time I've been right.
When we did Compass, Code, and Strategy.
Fourth time, episode 15. Jason was right.
And then we made up Tasmanian Electric. So now today you're going to be hearing about Precision Solutions.
Nice.
A company that develops construction software. So my point with that conversation is when you have a company like Precision Solutions, mm-hmm. where everyone is generally well-intended and mm-hmm. respectful of one another, but we just have issues with the structure of the company, then I think we aren't really seeing common human decency issues there.
Mm-hmm.
What we're seeing are organizational people stepping on each other's feet and bumping heads.
Mm-hmm. Because they're missing the authority structure.
Mm-hmm. So that's really, again, we can get into all of our ins and outs of mm-hmm. mental health challenges and how we can handle those. That's actually its own great episode, how to handle mental health challenges from an organizational standpoint. But today, we are talking about authority and how it actually is an organizational structure and how the best intended, most quote-unquote respectful people will still bump heads and still have challenges if the proper organizational support isn't there. Basically, what we realized is that we see these a lot. This is a big part of what we do, is help people handle authority issues. And we realized that there are three big categories where authority issues will manifest, and that we're actually currently looking at all of them. Mm-hmm. So the first, and probably the easiest to solve, so we'll start with that, is what we're looking at with our precision solutions, which we have already discussed. So precision solutions is a made-up company that does not actually exist, that are a software company building construction management software.
They're rather savvy.
Terribly savvy. So what we're dealing with at Precision is everybody on the team is generally has good intent, wants to pull together and get the work done. But because the organization doesn't have a great authority structure, we don't really know who reports to who. We tend to have tasks that don't have an owner or a person to direct them. And so everybody kind of runs off and works on their own part of their own task. And then they come back together and big pieces are missing. And it wasn't anyone's job to make sure that those pieces got included. Everyone felt that they had their own piece to carry, and they all felt that they carried their piece. And so when something gets dropped, then we feel like we feel frustrated with the team.
It's like the world's worst Santa's secret shopper list.
Because people just get left off of it?
Yes, because they just all run out and shop.
That feels like my childhood.
People who just, they weren't supposed to, and then they come back and not, what am I going to do with all these packs of gum? Because that's what I was on the list.
I got Bill. You didn't get Bill. I got Bill because I decided I got Bill.
That's right.
This is the thing where whoever got me didn't bring me a present. They just brought other people presents. And I never got the Secret Santa present because I don't know if you know this, you guys, but I was a really bad nerd when I was a kid.
You?
Yeah, I don't know if you knew that. It's nice. Kind of a secret. It's my secret identity.
Post a Mary picture of being a nerd.
Oh, God. Would it be the one?
A bad nerd.
Would it be the one where I have the really bad haircut and it says on the front of it, I really care, not? Or would it be the one where I have the unicorn shirt on and my hair all curled and my bangs all curled up and on the side on the yearbook photo it says Mark Green, that's my name? Would that be the one?
Well, there's so many to choose from.
There are many to choose from.
Or the time that you won Diathlon?
The academic, what was it? It was the...
Mathlete?
It was not a mathlete. It was the academic... It was not the decathlon. What was it?
Dicathlon.
It was not. It was the... I can't believe I'm spacing. Regardless, the point is we went to state and I was co-captain with Doug Samuel. Doug Samuel, hit us up. We'll send you a t-shirt.
I hope you're
still alive out there, Doug Samuel.
Oof.
I hope you're... No, he is. He's definitely still alive. He's probably, like, working next to Alan Washburn running, like, nuclear facilities.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, carry on.
Hit us up, Alan Washburn. No? You don't want to talk to Alan Washburn?
I mean, just say other names, too. Bill Gates, what's up?
What's up, Bill Gates? Hit us up. We'll give you a t-shirt. Melinda, too. Okay, we're way off track. So
structural problems.
Yeah. So basically, the world's worst Secret Santa list. Yes. Yes. And so you can see where this causes authority issues. Because basically what it feels like for the leader of the team and for the team is like people aren't doing what they're told.
Well, they should have just figured it out. I mean, we're all adults.
Mm-hmm.
They should have been able to buy a present for another person.
So the team leader says, I want all of you to get the job done. I want all of you to get presents for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we then drop that into a present matching system that does a poor job. Everybody actually does go out and buy the presents they're supposed to buy, but then when people get missed and we have extra presents, the leader feels like the team didn't get the job done, and the team feels like their coworkers didn't get the job done, and we feel like there's a failing of authority. But the truth is, generally that the intent is good and the will is good, but the structure is just missing. Mm. So this is the easiest to solve because all we really have to do is fix that Santa secret matching machine, build a machine that will actually match things up. Again, so ultimately though, instead of having a machine, what we probably would need in that particular analogy is just a person.
Mm-hmm.
A person whose job it is to make sure that the secret Santa process goes right.
Someone needs to manage the list.
One
or
person.
Or create a process to manage the list.
Mm-hmm. One person, even though they can direct to other people, we can give them whatever team we want. There needs to be one person in the end who is responsible for touching every piece of that process in order to make sure we aren't missing pieces. We need an owner.
We could discipline them all.
We could.
Sorry. Three of us really sucked at Secret Santa, so we all don't get paid this month.
That's right.
Right.
Huzzah.
So that is what the sort of first manifestation of authority issues looks like. Bad Secret Santa syndrome.
Not Bad Santa.
No, nobody needs to see that movie. Oh, Billy Bob Thornton. What were you thinking?
So Get Her Done is a different story.
So the second manifestation that we see is a lack of support. So at Get Her Done, we have hired someone to do sales of our plumbing. So we want someone to go around and sell plumbing jobs. But he doesn't really understand plumbing. He doesn't really understand sales. And we realize that shortly after we hire him. And we put him into a completely different role. We say, okay, well, it's obvious the sales thing isn't going to work out. So here you go. Be in the office and just help out with things. So you can see where this is a similar problem to what we have with precision, where we're missing a piece of organizational structure. What we need here is, it's not so much, so this person knows that they report to one person. So it's not an oversight issue. This is an issue where this person doesn't specifically know what they need to do. We had a client once where someone got hired to run telephone calls in some
mm-hmm.
vague way and then wasn't really sure what to do. And they eventually decided to fire her. No one ever told her what to do.
She
didn't report to anyone. She just showed up every day and generally tried her best to do her job. And then when they were done with her, they didn't have anybody to fire her. And they had to go find someone in the office who really had no interaction with her and say, hey, go fire her. She's out. We're done with her.
Anyway,
so this is our sales guy at Get Her Done, who we then put into an office position and now has really no clear understanding of what to do. And not really the training to know how to do those things, even if we did clearly define it. So this is different from precision in that this person knows exactly who to report to and who their boss is. What they don't know is how to do their job. So you can see where it's really just a sort of a different angle of the same problem, where we need to build in that organizational structure to make sure that person has a process to do their job, that they have the training to do their job. And so right now at Get Her Done, we think we have an authority issue because we think that this person in the office now isn't doing what he's told to do. But the truth is he's trying to respect the authority of his supervisor. He just doesn't have the tools. So even though it looks like a failing of authority, it's actually a failing, again, of organizational systems.
And he was actually written up.
He was actually written up. It's true. By Get Her Done.
Thanks, Get Her Done.
Yeah, we need to go back and listen to that episode because I don't remember the names that we made for the proprietors of Get Her Done.
There were two of them.
It was like Nick, mm-hmm.
I think Nick was one of them.
I think Nick was one. So we need to like actually have like little profiles. So we can click on it and remind ourselves.
Have Cadence draw the art.
Logos, yes!
Get really good stock photos of what we imagine they would be like.
Yes, for sure. And then, and actually at Get Her Done, that adds a whole layer, right? Because let's do that. And this is kind of a mix of the two problems. Get Her Done actually has two proprietors who have very different ideas about how the business should be run.
Mm-hmm.
So what if then that person in the office, what if we say, you report to both of us, right? And then...
That's my favorite way to do things.
Constantly, what Nick and... Let's call him Nick and Steve today. Nick and Steve.
Now we're messing with canon.
Okay, let's not call him Nick and Steve. All right, I'm going to write these profiles before the next episode.
Insert name here.
There's boss number one and boss number two. And boss number one's an even Steven, and he likes everything clean. And boss number two's super weird.
So that's pretty much it. So one of them is like an artist, and then the other one is like a plumber, a lifelong plumber. And they're married, and they're running the business together. It's excellent.
Yeah.
It made for a really challenging compass code and strategy, which is why we invented it.
Them being married was not revealed in the episode.
NBC, if
was
you...
Was it not?
Mm-mm.
NBC, if you want to buy the rights to this, just let us know.
Hit us up.
Arcade Wayfinding?
It's called Getting It Done.
Oh, hey. I didn't see you there.
Do-do-do. Man of the house. He can get it done.
Okay, here we go.
They have a theme song and everything. Okay, so finally, let's get to the core and the heart of the problem. Because the truth is, I think... If you can get to the point in either of those other two situations, it's easy to be in those situations and not recognize that that's what's going on. But if you can get to the point where you can recognize, hey, we need to give these people someone to report to, we need someone to own this, or hey, we need to give this person more training or more of a process, then those get a lot easier to solve. The third problem is a lot stickier to solve. So the final problem is the problem that we see at Tasmanian Electric. Which you'll recall has a proprietor.
Yep.
Chaz Chazington.
Yep.
So Chaz.
He's the new blood.
Chaz at Tasmanian. Chazmanian.
That was his name in college.
So there are two different problems that we can have here, which are really boiled back down to that personality piece, where if you have a person within your authority structure who either is a toxic, destructive force within your organization, or the flip side of that is, who is so interested in getting along and being a friend that they end up being, you know, what we're gonna refer to as a friend boss scenario, where they aren't really able to provide feedback or to direct anyone because they feel that to exercise authority is to somehow take away from someone.
I would call it a bro boss.
A bro boss? I like that. A bro boss.
That's a great name.
Boss bro. Bro boss or boss bro? What do you think?
Bro boss.
Bro boss?
With Tasmanian Electric, the problem is that there's a caustic force inside of the building, and they're really struggling with that person. Every single person inside the organization in some form or fashion is struggling. Number one, because that the poisonous person doesn't understand or appreciate authority, doesn't honor the authority in the building.
And we can build structure to support that person or help that person, and it's the same with BroBoss. We can build structure to help that person or support that person, but either way, whether it's toxic boss or bro boss, their personality issues will get in the way of them being able to interact with the organizational structure that we build. So this is a much bigger challenge, because putting the right structure into place doesn't help as quickly or immediately.
So in the situation, what's the remedy? So you said the structural problem for Precision is creating the structure or creating one person who is responsible for that particular work item.
Mm-hmm. Focusing in on ownership really is the key there, making sure that anywhere we're dropping balls, that we have one owner for that thing who is overseeing the entire thing.
And in Get Her Done, we're working with a lack of clarity or lack of clear direction as to what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's providing that clearer direction for the individual person and giving them clear expectations on what we want from them.
So we need to build that process so that they understand exactly what they need to do. Mm-hmm. And then once that process is built, we need to run through it and see, are there any steps of this process that they don't know how to do? And then provide that training mm-hmm. so that we can make sure that they know how to do the things and they know what the things are. And then if they still aren't doing them, now we can start looking at disciplinary issues.
So with Tasmanian Electric, if we're dealing with a destructive force, mm-hmm. how do we deal with that?
Well, so on the one hand, we can remove that person from the organization. Mm-hmm. And that is a really extreme solution. So what are some other, what if it's not too far gone yet? What if we don't have to excise that person from our organization? What are some ways that we can build structure that will help to rehabilitate?
Well, and this is where personal recovery plans or performance recovery plans, whatever acronym you want to use, are typically come into play, where we say, this is the situation, these are the expectations that we have, and you've not been meeting them, then we have some written history of that, and then we let that run its course to figure out whether or not they can comply with the organizational requirements or not.
Mm-hmm.
Many times people will jump to that step much sooner than they ought to because they've misdiagnosed what the real problem is. And I still don't know that I would equate necessarily the bro boss
yeah.
in the same category.
It's a problem in the sense that it's an interpersonal, again, we're looking at interpersonal versus mm-hmm. organizational.
Yep.
So no organization will necessarily cause a bro boss or a toxic boss to happen, right? Those are things that originate from within the personality of the person that's in that role.
I think toxic boss is a really touched on thing, and a lot of people have seen that a lot. It's less likely to see bro boss because authority is really easy to default onto when you have a workplace problem.
Mm-hmm.
So that toxic member of the team could be really at any spot of the organization, right? They could be the janitor who's just yelling F-bombs all the time, right? There's a lot of great examples of toxic, unfortunately.
Well, but I think the important thing to focus in on here is, so there are a lot of people who are mean to other people, but we reserve a special place in our society for people who hurt children, because that is, especially when you're hurting your own children, that is a sort
biological.
Of sacred relationship to your child. So when you hurt your child, we reserve a special place for that crime. And in the same way, there are a lot of toxic people at a lot of jobs. But when a person in an authority role uses that authority in a toxic way, that is kind of a higher level sort of organizational crime than to just be a jerk to the people. Like if you're the janitor who just yells at everybody, the amount of damage you can do to the organization is lower than if you are the head of sales and you're using that authority in a toxic way on the whole sales team, if that makes sense.
It has to do with your sphere of influence. Like if you have a greater sway, then you can do a lot more.
But it's also like with great power comes great responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your job is to do a thing, anything within the company that like swing a hammer or push a mop, then the level of power you have to ruin other people's lives is much lower. Whereas when you become the person who holds someone else's fate in your hand, then our expectations of you are higher at that point, that you're not going to use that to just be a bully or be a jerk.
Hmm.
What? I am a nice boss for you.
No. Just thinking about the president.
Right?
The greater your responsibility. Okay.
When's Barack coming back?
Barack, 2020.
Whoa. Michelle, 2020.
Three things are certain in this world. This is Barack Obama quote. Three things are certain in this world. Death, taxes, and Michelle's not going to run for office.
That's great.
Probably true.
We have a jetpack.
She's done with a lot of us. Do we have a jetpack? I feel like we said a lot of stuff.
We did say a lot of
stuff. Bro boss?
Boss bro? Okay.
Brobots.
Brobots.
Jetpack is Brobots.
Brobots.
Extra points if you could, like, draw a picture of what that Brobot looks like.
Ooh. Well, to just circle back where we were talking about the solution to Toxic Boss and Broboss, and I hear what you're saying, that they don't go in the same category because the damage that they do is different, and yet they, I feel like they go in the same category because the solution looks much the same. Mm. And ultimately, what we've done with this in the past is work with the organization to reduce their impact, mm-hmm. step by step by step. So
to reduce the amount of damage they can do?
Yeah, reduce the amount of damage they can do. So if you can take that person out of a leadership role and continue to rely on their skills and continue to have them do what they can do, but they just aren't in charge of anyone anymore, do that. If you can't do that because that is too central to what they're doing, then start taking steps in that direction. And a lot of times you'll find that this looks in their mind like a demotion, and that it will cause greater toxicity or cause them to end up leaving the company. But if that is the response to that solution, then that might not be the worst thing in the world.
Mm-hmm. And on that uplifting note,
Jetpack.
Brobots.
Brobots.
Brobout.
What's up, like, GoBots?
Brobots.
Are we doing a Transformers thing here? Is that it?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, different.
Definitely different from Transformers.
Right, I'm thinking of Autobots. That's different than GoBots.
GoBots are different than Autobots.
They're a different, they're like, yeah,
GoBots came after.
Right, they're like the Duplo. Where the Transformers are the
GoBots
the
were all motorcycles.
They were like all the same, and they were like the GoBots were like way easier, like
to break.
Well, sure, but any kid could like the thing about the Transformers was like a puzzle.
Oh yeah,
like it could take you days to figure out how to fully transform that thing. Do you remember Gowan's Optimus Prime?
Not days.
It took me days to figure out Optimus Prime, but I mean, my 3D
right.
spatial acuity is questionable.
Yeah, GoBots had fewer moving parts.
That's what I'm saying. Anybody could do a GoBot. Like, you just flip it and turn it over, and there you go. GoBot. GoBots suck. Dakota obviously did not have GoBots as a child.
No, I guess I had Transformers, but, like, it was just real easy to break them overall.
So the jetpack this week is...
Brobots.
Brobots.
Brawl out.
And for bonus points, send us a picture of your favorite Autobot or GoBot or
Decepticon.
Yeah, and you could. I liked the Constructobots. Right? They were the little Decepticons.
Constructicons.
And the Constructicons. Constructicons.
We'll also take any Lego buildings of robots that you can make.
Or was it Destructicons?
They might have been the Destructicons. Like, they were like demo. They were like a demo crew. That would be awesome. But they were all little ones, and they all fit together into one big one.
They were the Destructicons.
Were,
but then there were the... I thought there were Constructicons.
Were there Constructicons, too? Probably, because anytime you make a toy, you could use the same mold and just use different paint and make two of them.
There they are.
A good one and a bad one. You can find us at www.thecriticalpathwithmaryandjason.com
or
on Twitter at Arcade Wayfinder
or
you can find us on LinkedIn. We have a company page that we don't really post to. You can find Jason Sturgeon, Mary Sturgeon, Dakota Gates.
You could find us on YouTube if you looked hard enough. Watch out for our new LinkedIn special.
Oh, are we gonna actually talk about that? Talk about that. We're gonna have to make it.
Oh, I didn't see you here.
So we're gonna create. We've been talking about creating a LinkedIn tips YouTube channel with Jason, where he gives bad LinkedIn tips.
Watch for it.
To those who are interested.
Oh, there's gonna be a lot to learn, guys.
Would you say 326
lessons? 326
lessons
on LinkedIn.
I like your typing.
I just friended everyone.
Everyone all at once?
Everyone. And kicked.
You know, it's not a bulletin board. You don't get kicked.
You do.
You don't get kicked from LinkedIn.
Oh, that's going to be tip number four on how to get kicked.
Tip number four on how to get kicked?
Yes.
Is tip number four how to get kicked? Or
yes.
There are at least four different tips regarding how to get kicked.
Oh, I don't know. There's a lot of possibility there.
Are you going to lose your
five? Should be how to watch a video on LinkedIn.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's pretty
How do you do a bad job watching it? Make sure to like your own posts.
Always.
Why wouldn't you?
Okay. Are we done?
I think we're done.
We're done.
Stay tuned for outtakes. I'm sure there are some.
Or else.
Little known fact. The only...
There was an SR-71 GoBot.
What? The only potential boyfriend for Jem...
Was a GoBot?
Was a GoBot or Transformer.
Nice.
Because Ken was too small. And G.I. Joe was way too small. So G.I. Joe is like small. Ken is like this big. Jem had boy dolls, but nobody wanted them. So you never would buy the Jem boy dolls that went with Jem.
So you'd buy GoBots.
So, you didn't buy GoBots. You just like would like get one from like one of the boys in the neighborhood.
Nice.
And then the GoBots were actually tall enough to be Jem's boyfriend.
You know, that's perpetuating a very negative stereotype.
Is it?
Is it about height and GoBots?
Yeah, sure.
Well, the truth is I grew up with all sorts of toxic stereotypes.
Okay.
The girl has to be shorter.
No, like, but the thing about Jem, though, was... This is going into even more negative stereotypes. It wasn't just that she was taller than Ken. But she was, like, bigger. Like she was, like...
You know, some girls like small boys, Mary.
She was, like, a larger being. She looked like an alien.